What drives a gentle soul to commit unspeakable acts of violence?
The Black Cat invites us into the mind of a condemned man awaiting execution, desperate to unburden his soul before facing the gallows.
His confession begins innocently enough, describing a childhood marked by docility and kindness, particularly toward animals. His marriage brought many pets into a happy home, with a large, beautiful black cat named Pluto becoming his special favorite.
Their bond was almost spiritual, with a cat following him around like a faithful companion.
But this idyllic picture serves only as the baseline for a horrifying transformation.
As we witness his gradual unraveling, we're forced to confront an unsettling question. How thin is the line between ordinary humanity and monstrous behavior?
Perhaps the most terrifying aspect of this tale is not its supernatural elements, but the suggestion that such darkness might lurk within us all.
But evil things, in robes of sorrow, assailed the monarch's high estate. The narrator identifies alcohol as the villain in his downfall. Occasional drinking transforms into dependency that alters his personality. He becomes irritable, moody, and eventually violent, a transformation he observes almost as if happening to someone else. Verbal abuse leads to emotional neglect, then escalates to increasingly severe physical violence. Yet even drunk, he maintains enough self-awareness to initially spare Pluto, suggesting that despite blaming the fiend intemperance, he still exercises choice in his cruelty. Alcohol serves as both scapegoat and catalyst, revealing rather than creating his capacity for violence. What makes this particularly disturbing is his clinical detachment when describing his deterioration. He recognizes the changes, but seems powerless, or unwilling, to stop them. Isn't this the true horror? Not that we become monsters, but that we watch ourselves become monstrous and do nothing.
The violence against Pluto, when it finally erupts, is calculated and shocking. Returning home drunk, the narrator seizes the cat, who has learned to avoid him out of fear. When Pluto bites him slightly in self-defense, the narrator responds with disproportionate rage, taking a penknife and deliberately gouging out one of the cat's eyes. The next morning brings only a weak and equivocal sense of wrongdoing. Though Pluto recovers physically, he now avoids his master with obvious terror. The missing eye serves as a visible reminder of the narrator's cruelty, a physical manifestation of his moral blindness. Rather than being moved to reform, the narrator describes being overtaken by the spirit of perverseness, an impulse to do wrong precisely because he knows it is wrong. Under this influence, he hangs Pluto from a tree, tears streaming down his face even as he completes the act. This contradiction of emotional distress coupled with deliberate evil creates the psychological complexity that makes the tale so disturbing. This perversity represents that strange impulse to do something precisely because we shouldn't, though rarely does it lead where it led our narrator.
The night after Pluto's murder, the narrator's house burns down. He, his wife, and their servant barely escape as they watch their home turn to ashes. The next day, in the single remaining wall, they discover something extraordinary. The perfect impression of a gigantic cat with a rope around its neck outlined in the plaster. The narrator attempts a rational explanation. Someone must have thrown the cat's body through his window during the fire, creating the image through fresh plaster and flames. Yet the image's precision, enormous size, and appearance on the only standing wall suggests something beyond natural causes. Whether supernatural intervention or projection of guilty conscience, Pluto's death returns to haunt him, literally imprinted on the ruins of his former life. This spectral image makes his guilt visible and public. While he can hide from human justice, the ghostly cat suggests a higher accountability, revealing how buried sins inevitably surface.
Months later, the narrator encounters a tavern cat remarkably similar to Pluto, black with a white breast patch. The animal follows him home, becoming his wife's favorite,
but his initial affection quickly turns to hatred. Two disturbing features haunt him. Like Pluto, this cat is missing an eye, and its white patch gradually forms the shape of a gallows. This transformation terrifies him, convincing him the cat is Pluto returned for vengeance. The parallels seem too precise to be coincidental. The second cat serves as a living reminder of his crime, its one-eyed gaze a constant accusation. Paradoxically, the cat's affection becomes his greatest torment. This reveals the narrator's deteriorating mind. His perception, warped by guilt and alcohol, transforms an ordinary animal into an instrument of divine retribution. Rather than seeing an opportunity for redemption, he interprets the cat's presence as persecution.
The progression from animal cruelty to human murder represents the central horror of the tale. When the narrator nearly trips over the cat in the cellar, his rage erupts. As he raises an axe to kill it, his wife intervenes, triggering in him a rage more than demoniacal that he redirects toward her. The murder is described with chilling brevity. "I withdrew my arm from her grasp and buried the axe in her brain." This concise account conveys both the suddenness and his emotional detachment. This moment marks the culmination of his moral decay. What began as occasional cruelty under alcohol's influence has escalated to the ultimate crime. Yet he shows no genuine remorse, only concern about concealing the body. A cruel irony emerges. The wife's intervention to save the cat costs her her life. Her compassion, the quality the narrator once possessed but lost, becomes the trigger for her murder. This twist reveals how completely his moral compass has reversed. Kindness now provokes not admiration, but murderous rage. Isn't this the ultimate perversion, when virtues once cherished become the very things we despise?
With cold calculation, the narrator walls up his wife's body in the cellar, working meticulously until no trace remains visible. The cat's disappearance pleases him, one less loose end. Days later, when police arrive, he leads them through the cellar with unnatural calmness. In a moment of supreme arrogance, he wraps his cane against the concealing wall, boasting about its solid construction. The response is immediate, a wailing shriek, half of horror and half of triumph. The police tear down the wall to reveal the decomposing corpse with the missing cat perched atop her head, its single eye glaring accusatorily. He had unknowingly walled up the cat alive with his wife. The cat's cry becomes his wife's voice. The single eye recalls his first violence against Pluto, creating a circular narrative where his initial crime leads directly to his punishment. The narrator's final line, "I had walled the monster up within the tomb," contains profound ambiguity. The true monster is not the innocent cat, but the man who transformed from loving pet owner to murderer, blind to the darkness growing within himself.